Hello, and welcome to show number 2519 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
And tell me just the way you feel it. Don't cry, yeah. Daddy, come home. Don't cry, you won't be long before you're here.
The title of this tune is What's Up, It's Me. And we'll be speaking with the man who created that music in today's show.
Rod Clemens, who has been blind since birth, shares his journey from being a classically trained pianist to a rhythm and blues performer, producer, and composer. We'll talk with Rod about his experiences as a visually impaired musician, his passion for rhythm and blues, and his work scoring the upcoming film, A Genie for Christmas.
Before we begin this week's episode, I wanted to make a quick note that we've heard from a number of listeners who were suddenly unable to listen to Eyes on Success on their Victor Reader Stream and Trek devices. We contacted Humanware about this problem, and it turns out that the older Gen 2 models of the Victor Reader Stream and Trek, their OS is unable to support the newer secure protocols used for transferring files. So even if Humanware wanted to fix it, they couldn't. So I'm sorry to report that. But you can listen on any other podcasting device or app and listen to the show that way. We'll have a note on our website with more information.
So now back to the rest of the show and our tip of the week from Rod Clemens.
My thing, because I'm a creature of gratitude, so I would always find something every day. My mother used to say this. Find something every day that you love to do. I don't care what it is, anything big or small, and do it every single day. And you will live a very happy life. And you'll have a very good week if you do that every day.
That does sound like the key to happiness and success.
Yes, exactly.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Blind Institute of Technology, a global nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing accessibility and inclusion. BIT offers training programs and connects skilled professionals with disabilities to career opportunities. More information is at blindit.org.
And by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noah, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noah provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Rod.
Hello, my name is Rod Clemens, and I am an independent contemporary R&B recording artist and songwriter, professional musician, keyboard player, classically trained pianist, producer, and now movie and television executive producer and creator and chief cook, bottle washer, all that stuff. That's me. And I'm a pretty good cook too, by the way. But yes, I was born in Arkansas, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and went to the Arkansas School for the Blind in Little Rock. And then I attended the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music in Bloomington, Indiana. And then I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and on another bridge.
So I take it you've been blind since birth? Do you have any vision at all?
I do. I have, you wouldn't want me to get behind the wheel of a car, but I do have some light perception, vague object perception, and color perception. So it's workable for me. If I were to lose it, it would be not the best thing, but I don't read print. So I do move about in unfamiliar territory with a cane, and but I'm, you know, very independent and all that stuff. But yes, I was born with congenital glaucoma.
As was I, and every little bit of vision helps, I think. I've been through all stages of blindness.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And my doctor told my parents that I would be totally blind by the time I was in my 30s. Well, he lied.
Yeah, they're not always 100% correct.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Rod Clemens' journey from being a classically trained pianist to a rhythm and blues performer, producer, and composer. And he keeps very busy and active doing all three of those.
Well, Rod, tell us how you got involved in music. Were you playing music as a kid? How'd you get interested?
Well, you know how little toddlers, when they see a piano keyboard, they go and beat on it and all this stuff. And I could see well enough to see a piano keyboard when one was in front of me. But what I would do is, instead of beating on the keyboard, I would gravitate toward black keys only, because as I did that, I began to notice that any combination of the black keys would make a very pretty sound versus the white keys. Because and the reason why that is because the black keys are spaced a little further apart. So sonically and intervallically, it makes a big difference. The white keys are all, you know, together and they clash. But the black keys don't. And as a 3-year-old child, I immediately loved the sound of the black keys. And instead of beating, I would just touch them. And my mother would hear that and say, you know what? He's actually gravitating toward a sound that's beautiful, which is not normal for a 3-year-old child. So and we had, you know, several musicians on my mother's side of the family, all of her aunts, my great aunts were musicians, and my grandmother, her mother. So that's, she took me to a piano teacher at the university there. And I started studying with him when I was 3. I went all the way through the end of college.
That's quite a unique way of learning to play the piano. I think that's really great because the black keys do form a very nice scale and you don't have to worry about getting out of tune.
Exactly. Exactly. I loved it.
You said you were classically trained. Does that mean that you were able to read music as a child?
I read Braille music, yes. I had like 2 or 3 teachers. The very first one that I had from the university would teach me things by ear. And, you know, we were going through all the method books, teaching little fingers to play and all that stuff. But I would pick it up immediately. And he also told my mother, I remember him telling her that as soon as I sat down at a piano, I would immediately position my fingers the way that you should. And everything was perfect and whatever, which, you know, nobody had ever told me that. But at the school for the blind, I worked with another teacher and she insisted that I learn how to read Braille music so I could be as independent as possible. So all the classical scores were in Braille. And that's how I learned how to read Braille.
When I was young, I had a little bit of vision and I could look very closely at the music and read it a measure at a time, but I couldn't read and play at the same time. So I had to memorize all my music, and I was classically trained also. And I found that very difficult because by the time I memorized the piece, I was kind of sick of it. I was wondering if you had an easier time of it.
No, you know, because in Braille, you truly can't read and play. So, you know, you have to memorize the music one measure at a time, one hand at a time. I mean, as I think about it now, I don't know how I didn't drive myself crazy, but I also listened to recordings of whatever I was learning, not to learn it by ear, because you can't really learn classical music by ear, I don't think. But I listened just to get an idea of what it will eventually sound like. And then that did make the reading a lot faster because I knew what was coming next. But I had to read it a measure at a time and a hand at a time, because you're also not only reading notes, but you're reading fingering and dynamic markings and, you know, all that stuff.
Right. The solution for me was, when I was a kid, I had a lot of training in music theory as well as piano, and I eventually gravitated towards jazz, whereby if you knew the melody and you had enough music theory to put together the harmonies and arrangements, that was a lot easier for me, because if I could hear it in my head, I knew how to put it down on the keyboard. But you must have made the transition to, you do rhythm and blues these days, right?
Yeah, I make my living as an artist in R&B, but as a producer, I do all kinds of stuff. I've done pop and rock and contemporary country, children's music, contemporary gospel, all kinds of stuff. But for me, artistically, it's contemporary R&B.
And I take it once you graduated from college, you got into doing some of the producing and more musical playing on your own as an artist.
Yeah, I did. I started studying when I was in school. I was a classical piano performance major, and I stayed that curriculum. But I did start taking classes in audio engineering and production and arranging and conducting, because at the time, even with pop music, they would have live string players that would play on the recordings, and they, you know, you had to conduct them. So I studied conducting, which I love to conduct anyway. But yeah, I really kind of jumped into it once I graduated.
Did you face any kind of resistance in college about having a blind student do these things, or what was your experience?
No. Well, when I wanted to get into audio engineering, which I really didn't need to do that. I mean, I'm saying that in hindsight, because I eventually realized that I learned a lot more just by jumping in and putting my hands on a mixing board and doing something stupid and then learning why it was stupid. But some of the teachers in the audio engineering department didn't think that I was going to be able to do anything as far as engineering, because you're really getting, at the time, they were getting into a lot of electronics and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, come on, it's about sound. You know, what the devil do I care about watts and ohms? And what is
right, and waveforms on the screen.
Yeah, it's... I don't care. Does it sound good? Is it distorting? But as a music major, as a piano major, I had no resistance at all. My teacher, I studied with the same teacher all 4 years. Her name was Enrique Covallo Gulli. And she was, she was brilliant. She was a known, internationally known concert pianist when she was six. And she was, you know, living in Italy, where she was born, and she had been performing with world-class orchestras for the longest time. So I got the chance to work with her. But no, she understood that I was going to learn my scores a little bit slower because of the way that I had to read it. But, you know, she expected the same out of me as she did from anybody else.
So it sounds like college worked out pretty well for you.
Oh, yeah. My best years really were my college years. I enjoyed that.
Did you study only classical performance in college, or were you able to diversify somewhat?
I did take some jazz as well. I did get to work with the wonderful David Baker, who's passed on, but he is, oh my gosh, he was just so much fun to work with. And he loved working with me because I couldn't sight read. And so he was like, you know what? See, you got it better, really, than the rest of these guys, because they're so busy with their nose in the score. And you can hear where you're going. You know exactly what's happening. I remember in one final exam, one of the questions was to give him the changes, he's calling it, the changes to Autumn Leaves. And I'm sitting there like, changes. What's that?
He was looking for the chord changes.
Yes, but I've never heard that term before.
How funny. But I could picture you being very good at jazz music, as I find it. If you're tied to the music too much, you can't really improvise and be as free and creative as you might otherwise be if you're not tied to the actual notes themselves.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's because, for example, when he asked me that question, and I had this, you know, duh look on my face, and he's like, come on, baby, look, let me put it to you in a term that you would know. What are the chord progressions?
Well, he had your classical number.
I'm like, oh, well, why didn't you say that?
Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly.
You said you primarily focus on rhythm and blues. Are you able to do that by just memorizing the chords and a bit of the melody and then putting together your own arrangement as you go?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of that, fortunately, is because we had all music majors had to take 5 semesters of structure and literature and then accompanying music theory. So every semester is a different style period of classical music, and then you're getting a theory behind that compositional style period. So because I also, once again, had to do all that by ear, and actually I had a wonderful professor. And it's funny, I never met the man. He was the head of the theory department, and I never met him. He died before I graduated, and I never met him. But he set up a whole system of private teaching for me in theory and structure and literature, gave me associate instructors to work with me one-on-one. So, you know, my ear, which was already sharp, got that much sharper. So I can learn things like sometimes somebody will say, oh, Rod, you know what? I've got to sing at this blah, blah, blah. And they want me to do this song by Tremaine Hawkins. It's called Yada, Yada, Yada. And I'm like, I don't know it. I haven't heard it, but let me listen to it. And then I'm going to get on Apple Music and play it a couple of times. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Got it. And that's it. I just hear it and learn it and bitty bang whack. Off we go.
That is a great talent. So when you finally got out of college, how did you break into the music field? Was that difficult for you to become a professional musician, producer?
It was confusing because everybody's trying to tell you, you got to do this and you got to know that and you got to know this person. You got to go here and you got to jump up and down and stand on your head and gargle peanut butter. And after a while, I moved to Louisville, Kentucky. After I graduated from college, which was only about 2 hours away. And I had siblings there, so that made it a little bit easier. But at the time, Louisville had a pretty big club scene. And I started getting into playing in clubs. I put a band together. And I also started getting to know recording studios and engineers in the area because I was working on demos to submit to record labels. And that's how I got to meet people who were trying to do commercial jingles for local businesses. And I got involved in that as well. And I just kept going. I would get in where I fit in and just keep moving until, you know, I call it your steps are ordered. So, you know, nothing is happenstance. You keep going until you get where you're trying to go.
So you basically got in the scene, connected with other musicians, producers, and just by being in that scene, met other people and met other opportunities.
Right, exactly. And then especially once I went to New York, that was really cool. It's daunting and it was a little intimidating at first, but then, you know, now the whole music scene is, well, like everything else, is completely different. And, you know, so many of the labels don't exist anymore and so many people are doing things independently and they're actually making it work. So, you know, thus, that's why I'm here with you right now.
So anyway, tell us about the movie that you'll be making soon, or maybe you're in the process of making.
I am so excited about this movie. And if anybody had told me 10 years ago I would be working on a movie, I would have slapped them. But this is a movie about a most wonderful teacher, friend, mentor, and definitely one of the giants of the education of the blind and visually impaired. Her name was Jean Boyce. Everybody called her Jeannie, and thus the name of the movie, Jeannie for Christmas. And it's spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E. instead of genie, like genie in a bottle. But it's sort of a play on that. It's not a documentary, but it is a narrative about one of the incredible Christmas productions that she would prepare with us at the School for the Blind. And people would come from all over creation to see these Christmas productions. And I mean, they were just wonderful. Her choirs were amazing. And I got to sing in her choir for 6 years. And she was also my private piano teacher. She was truly someone who was encouraging, inspiring. But if she knew you had it, she was going to push you until you gave it everything you had. And you wanted to do it because you knew that she knew that you could do it. So you just do it.
Are you writing the score for this movie, or are you producing it, or what?
I'm writing the score. I'm also providing the theme song, which is actually the last song on my debut album, the Grammy-nominated album I did a few years ago. But I'm redoing the song because it's on the album, it's just piano and vocal, and now I'm orchestrating it.
Are you playing in the movie also?
On the song? Yes. I'm not performing in the movie, no.
But you're performing the music.
Yes, yes. I'm basically considered the author, executive producer, because I've hired the screenplay writer and film score composer and theme songwriter. And I worked with a wonderful screenplay writer, Sheila Boyd. And we met many times over Zoom. And we walked through the story. I had this idea a long time ago, 10 years ago, in fact, because I remembered Jeannie so much. And she and I remained friends until she died. She passed away 13 years ago. But every time I would go home to Arkansas, I would always go by her house and see her and hang out with her or whatever. I mean, if we were closer in age, I would have married her.
And this has some connection with the American Council of the Blind.
The AFB and ACB are both endorsing the book. And I was really excited about that, particularly, well, with both of them. Definitely American Council of the Blind, I believe, is kind of responsible for a lot of the voiceover narration for movies and stuff. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. And I have actually done some podcast interviews with that organization as well. And definitely AFB is wonderful. And I'm very honored that they would actually put their name on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're going to release this movie with audio description.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Got to take care of my peeps.
When do you expect it to be released?
Well, I'm pushing for it to be released this November 11th, which is Jeannie's birthday. She would actually be 97, I think. If it's not released, then I'm not going to fall over and die. But so it'll come out. But it's a Christmas movie. So it'll be either this Christmas or next Christmas. But we've been working on it for a while. It took me a while to raise the money to hire the screenplay writer.
Well, that sounds really exciting. You must be thrilled to have that happen.
I am. I'm so excited. And I can't wait for everyone to get a little glimpse of this wonderful woman.
Well, fascinating. Sounds like you have a lot of fun doing what you're doing and making some good contributions. You got that movie deal has to be an exciting thing for you.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. That, and then I got two other half-hour TV projects that I'm working to get up and running, the cartoon and another project called Best Friends. And I love the fact that this is my way of doing music without being dictated to by commercial radio music. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you do have a bit more leeway musically if you're doing a film score or a television score or whatever. And I'm doing the scores for all of this stuff. So, it's going to be fun.
Great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Rod Clemens' work and how to contact him.
Well, Rod, if people want to learn more about you or connect with you somehow, how could they do that?
I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/Rod Clemons, RODCLEMMONS. I also have a YouTube channel, which is the name of my independent record label, Verdict Records. VERD as in David, ICE as in Tom, Records, RECORDS. And I have my video on there for the title track of my my album, What's Up, It's Me. That's on there, along with the whole album. You can actually hear my album on any streaming audio. In fact, there is a link, which is my name, Rod Clemons, .hearnow. Here is as in listening, H-E-A-R, now, N-O-W.com, rodclemons.hearnow.com. And it will take you to every streaming platform where my music is, Deezer, Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify, iHeart, everybody. And then my professional email that anyone can reach me is the same company name, Verdict1@Mac, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, C as in cat.com.
And remind us of the name of the movie that you're working on.
Yes, the movie is called A Genie for Christmas.
And where will people be able to find that?
Well, it looks like it's going to be a widescreen release, which I was so excited about because when I first pitched it around, I'm going to the usual suspects, you know, Hallmark and this place and that place. And the producer was like, oh, no, we have to do a widescreen release of this. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not mad, not a bitch.
So you're talking about in the movie theaters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yep. And oh, by the way, also the students in the film who are, you know, playing the students at the school. It's set at the Arkansas School for the Blind. So the students who are acting are all of some level of visual disability. So, you know, the only sighted people in the cast are the principals, the adults and all that. But the students are all blind and visually impaired, which I'm very happy about that.
Nice.
Nice. Very nice.
And of course, as usual, you'll find all of that information in the show notes associated with episode 2519, which is this episode, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about accessible devices that blind people can use to manage their diabetes. We'll talk with Veronica Elsie and Patricia Maddox about accessible insulin pumps, continuous glucose monitors, and their advocacy work for non-visual medical tools. Both of them will share their personal journeys navigating diabetes care as blind individuals.
Thanks for joining us this week. Remember to share Eyes on Success with a friend, or even try listening on your smart home device by saying, "Play the Eyes on Success podcast." And we hope you join us again next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.